Today we're going to talk about faith. I kind of like this subject. Something that we need in our everyday lives because his word says the just shall live by faith. So why not talk about it? Why not preach about it? Why not live it and begin demonstrating in our lives? If you got your Bibles, open up to Mark 11, 20 to 24. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Says this, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You know, it's always good to go back to what Jesus had told you before, what he has done, and to remember those things because they're vital in our life. He may have spoken a word to you 3 months ago. You probably forgot it. You got to remember it. Peter remembered. Now, we see that fig tree that Jesus was walking by, and of course, he cursed it because there were no figs on it. And then he went and cleared the temple out and then came back, and here it is, dried up from the roots. See, Jesus exemplified that stuff. Faith. It wasn't going, we're not going off of somebody else's faith and somebody else's experience and someone else's story. We're going off of Jesus, and he gives us the example. He gives us the key to this on how to do that. So no matter what situation is you're in, you can count on him to give you something that will always be able to calm down your nerves or what have you. You're feeling jittery. I tell you, stop drinking all the energy drinks. Pepsi. The caffeine gets to you. He says to have faith in God, not in your talents. Have faith in God, not in your own power, not in your own human faith. Faith in God is a supernatural faith. That's what he's giving you. Our human faith is just basically, you know what? I know that this chair is going to be able to support me. What is this stuff made out of? You know when you sit down, that's your human faith. That's not supernatural faith. Supernatural faith, it would cause a miracle to happen in your life. And that's what he's given us. But sometimes we might trade it off for just our human faith and try to do it within our own power. Human faith is based on the manufacturer. Now, if there's no, now here's the thing. Say your car. You're driving your car. You know, you need gas in it. You need oil in it. You need all the essentials in it. But if it doesn't have it, well, put some in it. You can go get your oil change done. You can go fill up your tank. All of that stuff, well, I just believe that this tank is going to get filled. Well, go to the gas station and fill it up. Now, if you were running on empty and you have to get across town and you got someplace to go and the gas stations are all shut down and Lord, I just believe that I'll be able to make it. That would be a miracle running on fumes. Now, I know I've done that a couple of times. Well, I've only had $2 in my pocket and I need to go there and back. And it ran on fumes. I've heard people talk about where their car didn't start up or their starter didn't work and then they prayed over it, spoke over the engine and the starter and that thing just cranked up. Those are miracles. That's what your faith is for. You getting in your car, starting it up, knowing good and well is going to work. That's human faith. It doesn't produce a miracle. Having faith in God sets you apart from the rest of the world because they are going on their senses. They are going on their five senses. What they see, taste, touch, smell, and hear. We can go by that too. But that won't please God. So we have the advantage. Now the enemy knows that there is a God. He knows that. But he trusts in himself. He doesn't trust in God. He doesn't believe in God. He believes in his ability to be crafty. Faith in God, you can't spend eternity without it. You can't spend eternity without faith in God. So basically, you can get the same results that Jesus got because of the measure of faith that was given to you. And all we know that we don't need this huge amount of it, just a smidgen of it. Well, just a little bit. That's all it requires. See, people talk about having great faith, but how about just having faith in a great God? But you have to say it according to Scripture. In here it says three times. It says to say. Put that scripture up again, please. Mark 11, 23. For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Have you heard people? It's the 3-1 principle there. You say it three times more, and you only have to believe it once. You do more saying. So that's why the enemy is trying to get you on your speech, trying to get you to say something that's going to contradict what the Word of God says. Well, we've heard this before. I said, yeah, but you need it again. We always need a refresher. Always. Believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. You say it and you believe it in your heart. You don't doubt in your heart. You can have all the doubt you want. You mean to tell me I can't doubt God? You can doubt God, you just ain't gonna move the mountain. You can have all the doubt in the world. You can't tell me I can't doubt. Go ahead and doubt. I'll believe. You get in unbelief, I'll get in belief, and we'll see which ones work. You can vent to people all day long and then get into doubt. But guess what? It ain't going to change anything. You know the thing about vents? We got vents up here that's bringing down cool air. Thank God for cool air, AC. That is such a blessing. But see, there's a vent in every room. So when you're venting in a room, it goes into another room. You're venting all your problems out and you go into another room. Those problems are still there. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing happened. How do you know? Done it before. It doesn't work. You might think you feel good, but it doesn't work. You know, the Bible says, there's no fools in here, so I'm thankful for that, so I can say it. Here's the thing. Scripture says, fools vent all their problems, but a wise man holds them back. Amen. There's nothing wrong with talking about what's going on, but then there's a solution. Put your butt after that, then there's a solution. This is what the Word says. And I'm going to go with what the Word says. I'm going to stick with that. I know this happened right here, but I'm going to stick with what the Word of God says and what the Scripture says. Nothing happens when you vent. No. What, as hot as it was and triple digits, anybody go out to the fair and stuff like that? I just couldn't make it. It's hot. Last year we worked it. I just couldn't make it. And my neighbors, I mean, they run that thing and they rarely ever complain about it, but I mean, they just running it and going. Good people. I just couldn't make it out this year. I got in my truck one day and I love my truck. But it got leather seats, and it's got the cooling. But I got in there with a T-shirt on, and, you know, I don't know what happens to my T-shirts. They always end up shrinking. Doggone cotton. That's why you buy jackets that have, like, the elastic and stuff. That stuff is godsend right there. But here's the thing. I get in the truck, I sit down, and then the back of my shirt kind of lifted up a little bit, and it touched the leather. And I jumped, and I was, oh, my goodness, turn this thing on. have me jerking all over. It's hot. But thank God for those vents that are coming in. They may make you comfortable for a time or two, but here's the thing. It doesn't solve the problem when we're constantly venting. Now, if I just turn on the truck beforehand, because I have that, let it cool off for a little bit, then I can get it in press start. We're good. Sometimes when you're venting, write it down. Give it to God. Write all your, go ahead and write all your thoughts. Don't tweet all. Try not to tweet all your thoughts. I've seen people do that. It'll be like 1 minute after the next. It's like just a volume of it. Write it down. Give it to God. Put some scripture to it. Why? Because I said, I seen somebody say, your neck, I write all my stuff down, my thoughts down, because my head seems to get heavy and it hurts my neck when I, so I write it down. I was like, that's pretty good. You got all those thoughts. So you can vent all you want. You can vent, you can doubt. But those things don't ever move a mountain. Matter of fact, when you vent and doubt, what ends up happening is you will move out of the way of the mountain. The mountain's there, and you say, oh, excuse me. You end up moving rather than you moving it. Faith, saying it and believing will move the mountain out of your way, but you venting and doubting, you'll end up moving yourself out of the way. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. And without faith, you can't access what God has for you spiritually. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Faith in God moves mountains. The mountain will obey your voice. You have to say it. You can't have somebody say it for you. You have to do it. As much as you want to get everybody on your side, you have to do it yourself. But it has to be according to the will of God. Venting and doubting makes the problem bigger. So if you have a huge problem that has not moved out of your way in your life, it's because you haven't spoken it yet by faith. I think we've all been there at one point in time. Faith is the currency in the kingdom of God, and you have to apply your faith to it. If you have a bill, you get bills every month, energy bill, what have you. You may have an energy bill. Now, you got money for it. But you have your money in your pocket or your checkbook or you might pay online or what have you. Now, you just decide not to pay that bill. What's going to happen? You're late on this. Now the next statement that you get, they may run it over for another month. It's going to be double. And you know what they attach along with that total? Interest. Late fees. And then you keep that, it's going to be more. And then they're going to disconnect. And then there's going to have to be a reconnection fee. So when you have the money the first time, you have to, because money is their currency in life. We use it everywhere we go. Faith is our currency in the kingdom. So the less you use that money, the bigger the debt is going to be. You got the money to pay it off, and you got the faith to move the mountain. But as long as you continue to vent and doubt, that mountain will get bigger. As long as you continue to act like you don't got that money, that bill's going to get bigger, and they're going to shut it off. So use your faith. Pay that bill. Does that make any sense? I'm not saying anybody here, oh, he's talking about I didn't pay my bill. I'm not. Say it and believe it. This is how Jesus got it done. And it worked for him. So if it worked for him, it'll work for you. God is not a respecter of persons. If it did it through him. I learned that a long time ago. If God can do it through them, he could do it through me. He ain't nobody special. I got the same faith. We serve the same God. We got the same word. If he did it through them, he could do it through me. I'm not worried about it. Now, do you need a lot of faith? No, you don't. Just a little bit. Just a little smidgen. Just a little bit. Matthew 17:20 says this. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. Now, who will say to this mountain? You. Turn to your neighbor and say, you say to the mountain. They can't say it for you. Now, they can get an agreement, but you're going to have to say it. So the size of your faith don't matter. You don't need big-time faith in order to move that mountain. To speak to sickness or disease, it doesn't require a lot of faith. Your children, 12 and older, they got the same faith as a 75, 80-year-old person. They got the same faith as Jesus. Nothing changed. Matter of fact, they may even have greater faith. I mean, because they don't have all this other doctrine and stuff that's sometimes we can get caught up in, and, well, all these experiences that people may have. Listen, I don't care about, I love people's experiences. I get it. But if it lines up with the word, I'm all for it. If it doesn't, God bless you. Because I don't think God is changing his word up to fit me or anyone else. We got to get in line with the word. Okay? Jesus said to his disciples, and they couldn't cast out a demon. This is right before they couldn't cast out a demon. He gave them authority to cast out demons, and they couldn't. This is why he said, and then later on, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? He says, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and sometimes the circumstances around us may get us so caught up to the place to where we get back to our senses, and what we see, we don't want to say in belief. You got to say it. If I ever get, I got to vent, and as soon as I get back into the word, it's kind of like one of those moments like the light bulb goes off, and it's like, why did I wait so long? When this works every single time. I think sometimes we just get too caught up on winning all the time that it becomes easier, so we try to make it more difficult, and oh man, I'm going through this. Move the mountain. Move the mountain. Say it and believe it. Move it. Unbelief is like kryptonite to faith. You can be in unbelief all you want. You can. Still sin. I mean, you can. I'm not going there. Unbelief will get you focused on the negatives rather than focus on God. It's a faith killer, and you won't be able to see much anything positive if you keep walking around venting and doubting. I call it VD. Whoo! So you see somebody with some VD. Hey, tell them, nah, confess it and believe it, man. Quit all that mess. You don't want to be walking around with VD. That's nasty. God has cleansed you from all of that. You don't have to. You know, sometimes believers who are new in their faith, they're on fire for God, and they could be doing a lot of great things to God, and then get across an unbelieving believer. You ever came across those? Unbelieving, they don't believe that God, well, God doesn't heal anymore. God doesn't do this anymore. God doesn't do that anymore. Yeah, he still does. He's still the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then they get to that place to where they have so much scripture to back up their unbelief that they get that new believer just basically doing what they're doing. Getting them to unbelief and doubt, walking around with VD. That's ever happened to you? you got to understand something here. I said, God's still the same. He's that same miracle worker. He's that same God that loves on you, that cares about you, that wants the best for you. And he's given you that power and that authority. So when you have that relationship with him, people say it's a byproduct. It is a byproduct. But there are people who have a relationship with Jesus and they don't have any evidence of the byproducts. They've discarded them. Then there are some who don't know Jesus and have the byproducts. Well, I'd rather know Jesus and have the byproducts because I think it's the evidence that it speaks of. Jesus spent so much time. The Bible says if all of his miracles were recorded, written down, there wouldn't be enough libraries to hold the books that would have been written. Now, we have a library in here. Vicky, just off the top of your head, do you know how many books we have in there? Is it over 200? That's just a lot of books just for miracles. And that's not just saying Jesus healed the blind. You're talking about full in-depth stories here. There wouldn't be enough libraries to hold the books that would have been written in the world. That's like a miracle every second. 3-year ministry. Well, you know, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. That scripture has stopped a lot of people, literally, from doing the will of the Father. That scripture right there, I believe. Because they'll try to do it because you'll be going out and you'll be getting results. Well, you know, many in that day, what are they trying to do? Question whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus. Well, I got a relationship with Jesus. Now moving on. Do you? Because there should be some byproduct. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. I believe in his name. Anybody else? So if there's no byproducts, are you really believing? Are you one of those unbelieving believers? I'll pray for you too. You walking around with VD. God still loves you. Well, so the more you get to know God, the more signs should follow you. Jesus spent his time in a solitude and he went off to pray. Man, to just hear that communication that he had with the Father, to be a slug on that floor, on that ground right there while he's talking with the Father, just to listen to what he was saying, spending time with him. Never allow people to misuse scripture to keep you from your relationship with God and from doing what God has called you to do. Many in that day, they didn't have a relationship with him. If you have a relationship with him, go ahead. Because miracles and signs and wonders, they glorify God. Miracles glorify God. Miracles glorify God. How can we say we're glorifying him if there's no miracles involved? Salvation, one of the greatest miracles. But there's more. It's the supernatural power of God in operation in the faith of God that brings these miracles. So let me ask you a question. Question. Did Jesus have a relationship with the Father? Yeah. So he taught, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he performed many miracles. See, God will always be faithful to you to the end. Always. Always. And he goes above and beyond what he says he will do according to the power that works in us. According to the degree of the power that works in us. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. So you're not powerless. You're not powerless at all. No one is. And you don't have to have any, I said, you don't have to live in shame, guilt, or condemnation. Because Jesus, the blood of Jesus has washed you from that. In 1 John 5:14, it says this. Now we have this confidence. We can also have great boldness. Oh, sorry. I'm reading the New King James Version. I'll read it up there. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let me get it in the Passion. It says, since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. For if we ask anything agreeable to his will hear us. Amplified Version. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, making any request according to our will, his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. God will listen to you when you're going off of his word, when you're living according to his word, when you're agreed with his word, with his plan for your life. He'll hear your prayer. We pray according to the will of God. We are not the Father, and we didn't write the Bible, so we don't pray according to our will. Our faith is in him, and our confidence is in him. So what about this relationship? Your relationship is the most important thing with him. And then there's the byproducts. He's not telling you you can't have it. People will tell you you can't have it. The enemy will tell you you can't have that. The last thing I want to see is a powerless church. But it's not up to me, it's up to him. You are not powerless. You have the Father living on the inside of you. This is the confidence that we have in him. He hears us when we pray according to his will. So what mountain is there that we've been venting and doubting that God wouldn't be able to move or wouldn't be able to obey our voice? What mountain is there in your life right now? If you can think of it, and there's one or two, speak to it. In the name of Jesus, speak to it with boldness and confidence in God. Speak to it. Anybody in here with some ailments right now? They're battling something right now. May I ask what it is?
Yeah, I've got knee pain and foot pain, and my heart circulation isn't real good.
Yes, ma'am. You're fighting? You're fighting Parkinson's? Can I tell you something that Jesus has shared with me a long ago? It's not your fight. He already did it for you. You just receive what he's already done for you. In the name of Jesus, we speak to that Parkinson's right now. We command it to leave your body. In the name of Jesus, from the top of your head, the shakes stop in the name of Jesus. The trembles stop in the name of Jesus. And you line up according to the word of God in the name of Jesus. We curse you right now. We curse you right now. And we command circulation to flow, heart to pump, the way it is, the valves to operate and work in Jesus' name. We thank you for pain gone in your knees. And what else did you say? And your feet. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive it.
Amen.
Receive it.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Shoulder and knee? I'm going to do something different. Is the power operating in you? You have a relationship with Jesus? You do. I said, so your shoulder and your knee has to obey your voice according to the word of God. So I want you to say to your shoulder, does it hurt right now? Stand up. Stand up, please. Which one? What can't you do? Can you lift your hand, your shoulder, your arm all the way up straight? Okay. I want you to say, shoulder, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Try it out. Does it hurt? Does it hurt? Speak to it again. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You got the wrong guy here. You don't have to stand a little pain. Sometimes we do. And then that pain gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Next thing you're doing is walking around with VD. Total healing. Complete and total restoration. When Jesus, there was a man with a shriveled up hand. He received complete and total restoration. Stretch out your hand. He didn't have a hand to stretch out. And it came out. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Speak to it again. Because when I'm not there, it's easy to do what everybody hears when you're by yourself. And those thoughts start coming in. Absolutely. I said, so get the word in you. In the name of Jesus, shoulder be healed. And you just keep, thank you, Lord. Here's the thing. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing me. Lift it up again. Lift it up again. Just keep working it. Go do this. Sometimes that's hard. Some rotator cuff. Go up. There you go. Now fly like an eagle. Come on. There we go. Do you have any pain? Is it, scale of 1 to 10, where's it at? 10 being the worst. 1 being slight. Okay, do it until it's a 0. Okay? Keep working. What about your knees? Here's the thing. Because what we end up doing is that we end up reading so much. And I'm not saying you, but we read. Well, this happens to a lot of people. But the thing is, according to the word of God, it has to line up. God's word over everybody else's experience, over everybody else's word. God's word. And you speak to it the same way you do your shoulder. Same way you do your knees. Same way you do your feet. Same way you do your heart. Same way you do with any disease that's going on in your body. It works because you're saying it and you're believing it. Father God, after you spoke to it, you give him thanks. Lord, I thank you for healing. I thank you that my shoulder is healed. I thank you that my lungs are healed. I thank you that these migraines are gone. I thank you that my knees are healed. I thank you that my feet are healed, that I could dance, that I could shout, that I can jump. I thank you, Lord. Well, come hang out with me. I'll give you some rhythm. Come on. Anyone else? Sir, how are your feet? Did I say that too quick? Sometimes I mumble. No, seriously, my wife tells me no. No, sir. You need to get up on your knees. Act on your faith. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. No, faith is now. It is better. That's what you go. You acted. Not going. Huh? Huh? It's not what?
It's not told yet. It's there.
Come on out. Come on out. Step out. Step out into the water, Peter. Come on. In the name of Jesus. You just keep walking out through service. Here's the thing. We already spoke to it. Just give them thanks. Are you good?
That's good. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Who's talking? Yes, sir.
I have surgery on Wednesday.
Okay, so you just need prayer for that, or you need it? You don't want to go in surgery?
I don't like going.
Okay. Well, we just get an agreement that. Okay. You have to go to work back to work Thursday.
Well,
there you go. Well, we just get an agreement that it's going to be a textbook surgery.
Amen.
That there will be no complications, no infections whatsoever. That God will guide the hands of everyone who was operating and working on you. And that hernia is healed supernaturally because of that surgery. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God hasn't forgotten you, Shauna. Come on. You too, Joe. I heard the Lord say to me earlier, your gift will make room for you. You got creativity on the inside of you flowing. And your gift will make room for you. It's going to start something revolutionary in your life. You ain't got to depend on other people for a job. You're going to create something. Anyone else?
I have arthritis.
A what?
Arthritis.
Arthritis?
Yep.
Well, we speak to the arthritis in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Darlene. We curse it in the name of Jesus. Body be healed right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Is it in your hands?
My
hands and feet?
Yeah.
Shake it. Shake it. Shake it off. Anybody else got arthritis? Shake it off. Hallelujah. Last call. So y'all know what that means. No. Let's stand. Say it and believe it. Speak it, confess it, and believe it. I forgot we had communion. We're going to take a minute as they're setting up. Grab your partner's hand right now and start speaking life over them in the name of Jesus right now. Boldly confess it.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.